It was simply a campaign issue a year ago.
Eligible individuals who do not present a risk to national security or public safety will be able to request temporary relief from deportation proceedings and apply for work authorization.
President Obama announcing the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program, or DACA, an executive order seen as a way of improving turnout of Latino voters that would also give young people raised in America as undocumented immigrants the chance to be here legally, something Congress wasn't going to act on. Politically, the DACA program was successful for the Democratic ticket. It helped to reelect the president. But that did nothing to spur immigration reform, still stalled in Congress right now. Yet in the years since the DACA program was enacted by a snap of the White House magic fingers, it has benefited perhaps a half million young people. Today, stories from two of them. 20-year-old Jaret Andreda came to the U.S. from Bolivia in 2001 and had spent more than a decade in limbo until about a year ago.
So I was actually about 2,000 miles away from home in California. I actually got on my email and I saw that there was they had forwarded me this memorandum of understanding. And it was Homeland Security was going to stop deporting students from 16 to 30. And it was called Deferred Action. And these students, like myself, would be able to get work permits and social security numbers, and that meant that some states would even give a driver's license. So I was moved to tears, but I was also, I had so many questions that day. It was something that we'll never forget. I think it was something that really changed our lives since last year.
And this really was a dream, the idea of a work permit and a driver's license, a social security number. I mean, these are the basic tools.
Yes, and even, you know, for the movie theaters, I remember going to watch Harry Potter and I didn't have an ID, so they didn't let me in. So things that people take for granted sometimes, like an ID, that's just something so basic to have proof of your identity, we weren't able to have because we did not have a social security number. So I was able to get my ID, and really when you have that, it's just so much easier to just go along and live a normal life.
Well, Jaret, how long have you been in the United States?
About 13 years now.
How has this changed your relationship with your parents? Because on some level, and we've talked with a lot of young people who really, you know, this whole predicament was the result of decisions your parents made. How has it changed your relationship with your parents?
Well, when I was 15, I think my mom set me down and she was like, I support everything that you do, and you're a very smart girl, and I support that you're going to college, and that's one of your dreams, but I won't be able to afford it, and you don't have a social security number. So I remember, I think that for that month when I was 15, I was just questioning, you know, why did you do this, or how come, you know, were you not aware? I had all these questions, but I think that looking back, now I'm fighting for my parents because I realized that they had this dream of coming to America, and it was to better the lives of my sisters and me. Now I am pushing for a reform that includes my family because I think that they deserve to work. They worked so hard over the past 13 years that, you know, now being without status is just terrible.
What if Americans view this whole situation as, all right, well, with deferred action, we solved that problem. There's really no need to extend it to the parents. That can all wait. We did something for the kids, and that's enough, and let's just move on. How would you feel about that?
I think that sort of is saying, like, my parents are criminals or something, but they're actually the original dreamers. They came and they had a vision to make this country a better place and to be able to set roots in this country. You know, I just recently even posted a picture on my Facebook that about my dad, and he's an architect and he's very talented. And I remember him going to the Statue of Liberty for the first time, and he just sort of stared at it because, like most architects, he was probably wondering, hey, I wonder if, you know, one day I'll be able to design something like this in this nation that is now my home. But he hasn't been able to do that, right, because he doesn't have papers. And so I think that undocumented families are just like all American families. I mean, they have dreams. And just even mentioning the Statue of Liberty, it's a symbol of hope, and it's a symbol of the values that this nation has that was built on immigrants. So my dad deserves an opportunity here.
Jaret Andrade is from Bolivia, currently a participant in the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. Let's welcome now 23-year-old Hina Naveed, whose family is Pakistani. She was on a Pakistani passport when she moved to the United States from Dubai back in 2001. Hina, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
What did you think when you heard about the possibility of legal work residency in the United States because of the president's decision a year ago?
Initially, of course, it was a feeling of disbelief. After having no status for quite some time, it just seemed surprising that all of a sudden we would be able to have work permits just like that.
And so the papers that you never imagined having were suddenly available to you. How did you go about getting them, and how has it changed your life?
We had to prove residency for 5 years, and then we had to see a lawyer. And then they filed our paperwork. There was an application fee and then a fingerprint appointment. And then we received our approval 3 to 4 months later.
After all that time, did it amaze you how quickly everything changed?
Of course, definitely, because a major change in my life was I was able to apply to nursing school, which I previously was not able to due to lack of status. So, of course, it was a big shock. I got accepted into the nursing program, something I didn't imagine. I was able to get my first job, apply for my learner's permit, things that, of course, for so long had been out of reach.
How's that picture on your driver's license?
Yeah, not so great.
Not so great, right. How has this changed your relationship with your parents, who, of course, brought you here wanting the best for you, but suddenly maybe you have to fight for them now?
It definitely has made it more real, because now we know how it feels. I know how it feels to have the paperwork, and I would want my parents to experience the same joy, the same excitement, the same feeling of relief that comes with those documents.
Now you have what they want probably more than anything.
Exactly. We were hoping with the passage of immigration reform, something would happen that would allow our parents to receive the same documents or for all of us to receive a pathway to legalization. But that seems at a standstill now. So, of course, it's mixed emotions throughout.
And, let's just take a look at what do you think is possible with immigration reform. There's still things that are barred to you, even given the fact that you qualify for the DREAM Act, the DACA program.
Yes, definitely. But of course, in order to gain something, we have to lose something. So we're hoping that the House of Representatives can do something better with the bill than the Senate did, because we have a lot of things that we gave up, so to speak, in the Senate version of the bill.
Are you a nurse today?
I'm not yet, but in 2 years, hope to be.
All right. She sounds like an immigration lawyer or a lobbyist at the very least, but she's actually studying to be a nurse, all because of the DACA program, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program that allowed her to work legally in the United States. Hina Naveed, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Hina Naveed is one of the participants in that DACA program. We also heard from Jaret Andrade, whose family came to the U.S. from Bolivia, 2 out of probably 500,000 people who benefited from that year-old program. If you want to catch up on that conversation or listen back to anything on the show, check us out at thetakeaway.org. You can always find us on facebook.com/thetakeaway. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.